Okay, going live. Let's
Three, two,
see.
one,
I
go.
think we'll wait for the little red symbol to appear.
I feel like we can just watch the thing, right? Or how much, what kind of lag?
There's like a 5 second delay. Oh, we're live.
Yeah,
there we
probably.
Go. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Great.
Sweet.
Okay, welcome everyone to the .NET Community Stand-Up, the tooling edition. I have some guests with me here today. Bowden, do you want to start and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Bowden Kelly. I've been at Microsoft for about 4 years, and I work on VS Code and kind of JavaScript developer tools.
Pretty sweet. Cody, do you want to reintroduce yourself? Because you're
yes,
joining
hello.
Us again.
Second time they invited me back mm-hmm. against better judgments. Hello, everybody. I am Cody Beyer. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio for Mac team. I've been with Microsoft for about 3.5 years now. And so those are the details.
How's that?
Yeah.
Great. I'm Kendra Havens, for those of you who are totally new to the stream. I'm a program manager on .NET and Visual Studio, and specifically work a lot on .NET tooling. So that's why they make me do the tooling stand-up, I guess. Okay.
Make.
Yeah, just to talk a little bit about what we're going to discuss today, I'm going to go over build excitement because that happened. We shipped 16.1 preview 1, so I have some of those features to show maybe later, maybe after we chat. And generally, I want to chat with my guests about the Visual Studio. Is Uni joining?
Uni's joining. Okay. Hey, Uni. You're live across the world.
I mean,
right now.
That's fine. Oh. I don't plan things, but. You're live.
Sorry. I joined the wrong meeting. My apologies.
No worries. Have
okay.
a good one.
Good luck with your show.
Thanks,
Amy. Aren't you guys late? I guess it's...
No, we're live. You're
no, we're
talking
live.
The world
it's
right
9:03.
Now.
I'm just running through the agenda.
All right. Good
Hello,
luck.
Hello, world. Okay, thanks, Amy.
Live TV, everybody, or whatever
Definitely.
This is, TV.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, right. Since I have people from sort of the entire Visual Studio family here, so I'm kind of Visual Studio on Windows focused. We got Visual Studio Code, we got Visual Studio for Mac. I thought we'd answer Visual Studio family questions, and we get one a ton, and I'll dive into that right after I talk about build. So, build is happening. Yeah, people can see my screen. We have published some sessions catalogs. You can scroll through those. We post a ton of the sessions on YouTube, so even if you're not registered to go and you haven't paid all the fees, you can still actually just watch content. I'm pretty sure we're going to be doing like live interviews and streams throughout the event, so it's pretty sweet. I'm so glad we like opened up events like this so that people can just tune in. Because if you can't travel to conferences, because you can't convince your boss to get you a ticket and all of the plane rides and all of that, it's nice.
Yeah. Build's a great conference, too. It's a lot of, everybody's excited about it, a lot of experts, you know, a lot of passionate people in the community. It's a great conference to go to,
yeah.
Virtually or otherwise.
It is one of my favorite conferences because sometimes at others, like if I go to DockerCon, .NET tools aren't like a superstar, but at Build, I feel like a superstar because everybody like visits my booth and we have good conversations. Are you guys excited to see any, do you have any sessions that you're excited to see at Build?
No specific sessions, but we do have some announcements coming in line with Build. So keep an eye out on the VS Code blog and you'll see some fire announcements coming your way.
Fire announcements?
That's right, with triple fire emojis.
Oh my
Oh gosh.
Gosh,
that's too much.
Okay. What about you, Cody? I'm sure Michaela Hutchinson's doing some kind of awesome talk.
Yeah, Michaela's going to do a talk about how to make a web app and a mobile app in Visual Studio for Mac. So you can do all these different, you know, back end, front end, all the technology on Visual Studio for Mac. So that's going to be a great talk. It's going to dive really deep into some of the back end technologies, some of the, you know, best practices. So it's going to be a good session for people who are both new to C# development, but also people who are, you know, pretty familiar with C# and familiar with .NET. So we can dive pretty deep into some of the deeper topics. There it is right there.
Nice.
Building mobile and
one?
Web applications. Yeah.
All right.
There it is.
Nice. They're not
it says a level advanced.
Right by these. It says it's advanced.
It's advanced, but it's gonna be a good intro too. So.
Yeah. Oh hey, we got Visual Studio Code tips and tricks. That sounds cool. I now always love going there.
Yeah. Uh-oh, that must be a hint to the announcement that Valid just previewed.
I guess you'll have to join us to find out.
There's no fire emojis there, though. I feel a little...
That's right. I'll have to edit those in after the fact.
Yeah.
Guys, I feel like everyone's using the tips and tricks in their talk titles. Like...
It's because everyone loves tips and tricks. Anymore?
But they haven't been consistent with ampersands versus non-ampersands.
Yeah, that's also troublesome. I feel like it's just because I feel like my team started with the tips and tricks keyword. It probably didn't. We probably didn't own it. But I feel weirdly like, guys, stop stealing my thing. Okay.
When did you launch tips and tricks?
I mean, before I was here, like my team was having tips and tricks talks like before I even started. So you know.
Still, we're going to give you credit for it. That's everybody, that's Kinder's word.
Like, I didn't start it. My team did. But I wanted my team to keep it.
And I'm sure y'all coined the phrase first in the entire world.
Thank you.
I'm going to start going tricks and tips. So
there you go.
Flip it on its head.
Okay, definitely coining that. Sweet. Okay, so I think we talked a little bit about Build. That's a lot of excitement. The other just main news item is that we've released a Visual Studio 16.1 preview 1. So if anyone wants to go check out the preview, I'll show little things after this. Okay, so the main topic of discussion. We all get asked this question so often at conferences, when we do booths, when we meet with customers. Everybody seems to be curious why there is a Visual Studio family, why Microsoft is investing so much in like a lot of different platforms. So I'll get like Windows developers who are like, hey, why are you investing so much in Linux? Like kind of feeling like they might be being left behind, or like everybody's moving to Mac now, or like Linux is the only thing that people can run on a server, which is just really silly because we still have a wonderful Windows server releases. And basically people feeling like, I guess FOMO, is that it? The fear of missing out. So they're just wondering what our strategy is with all of this. So Cody.
So Mac.
Why are we investing so much in awesome tools for Mac?
Because we want to meet developers where they are. I mean that's the long and the short of it. I think that we want to enable our community to build apps on any device for any device in the ecosystem that they're comfortable with. So if you are a Mac developer, you're comfortable using a Mac, you've been using a Mac since 1997, and you want to keep using a Mac, we want to be able to allow you to use C# and use the awesome technologies that we're making to make apps in on your platform. And so I think that, you know, when you look at the developer ecosystem today, there is a lot of siloization, you know. So there's people, you know, like I'm just this type of developer, I'm just that type of developer. But I think as things are moving forward, people are becoming, you know, polyglots in different languages and different platforms. And we want to ensure that we can, you know, meet people where they are, and we can give them the greatest tools that they have for that platform. I think that's kind of the ethos behind, you know, this any platform, any device,
I think OS. Amanda Silver had a talk on that. Any developer, any platform, any environment. Yeah.
Any app.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, any app. There we go. Right. Sorry. I think I switched all of those around. So, yeah. Exactly what I kind of try to tell people is, yeah, we're trying to meet people where they already are. So a lot of our, like, Windows development ecosystem was, I guess, saturated with our tools at a certain point. And we were really happy to, yeah, provide other things that people are looking for in the ecosystem. Visual Studio Code is an awesome example of that. Like,
yeah, so VS Code is slightly different from VS and VS for Mac. It's designed to be a pluggable, lightweight editor, more similar to Sublime or Atom than Visual Studio.
Yeah.
But it does run on Linux, Mac, and Windows, and it was designed from the beginning to keep in mind kind of the breadth of the developer scenarios, not go too deep into any single technology. But to really support as much as the developer ecosystem at large as possible. And so you'll find rich extensions for Go and Rust and some of these other fringe languages that may not be the most popular, but there's still lots of people, you know, doing cool stuff with those languages. And like Cody said, we want to make sure that whatever programming language you're using, whatever environment you're in, whatever app you're building, we have tools that can help you build cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great example of, I guess, how we went out and sort of, I guess, did something that we weren't really trying to do at first. We went after like a completely different developer segment who really wanted a lightweight editor. And Visual Studio for so long has been, yeah, one of those more heavyweight but very powerful tools. So
exactly. So like, you know, there's a whole kind of spectrum from as lightweight as possible in Notepad, which starts immediately but doesn't actually have any features whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Visual Studio, which, you know, takes a little longer to load, a little longer to install, but you have extremely powerful features like, you know, profilers and all of those things.
Or a debugger.
And so VS Code tries to ride the line somewhere in the middle, where it's still a lightweight editor. It downloads very quickly. It starts up very quickly. It makes simple file edits very simple. Mm-hmm. But we want to sprinkle in the IDE features that you're used to and that you need to be productive, like debuggers.
Always have both Visual Studio Code and Visual Studio installed on my machines. How many people do you think actually do that? I feel like it's so common here.
It's quite a lot. And we often talk to Visual Studio folks who have VS Code installed to be their lightweight editor.
Yeah.
When they do have quick changes they want to make, or maybe they're working on front-end UIs or things that, you know, it's just HTML, CSS, JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't require a whole lot of powerful tools behind it. They drop into VS Code, but they still do the majority of their editing in VS.
Yeah, like when I'm editing docs for docs.microsoft.com, I'll use VS Code more than anything else to
got
open
a great markdown
project,
editor.
It's just, yeah, it's a wonderful markdown editor. And I like your Git support too. It, like, I don't know, it bubbles it up much more obviously when I have a file changed, I guess, mm-hmm. and like keeps track of them. I like it a lot. What?
It's a command palette.
That's
the magic.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Right. Ultimately, VS Code is command driven, and so every single thing you can do in the entire editor is bound to a command, which you can search in the command palette.
Yeah.
So you just hit Control Shift or Command Shift P, type in whatever you think you're trying to do.
Yes.
And VS Code will probably find it for you.
Does it have fuzzy command search magic?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All
that's
that
so
goodness.
Cool. So like, this is a really good example of what we actually really like. The command palette had this massive success, right? It's so easily pluggable in like Visual Studio 2019. Our search experience, I think, is trying to creep more towards the VS Code like experience. So, I can actually just share my monitor. Like, if you look at Control Q, we're trying to do more things that are like task oriented, and you can browse like different menus or components or templates that you have. So, I think someday we might have like just commands or something like that. Like, our extensions could easily plug into. That would just be so cool. No promises, of course, but like that's what I want our product to go. So we'll see how much power I can wield. So we have like a ton of sharing opportunities. The new colors in Visual Studio 2019 were partially inspired by Visual Studio Code. So you had a bit of a new color scheme for specifically C# in the extension, and a lot of people really love them. And that's what actually motivated us to go ahead and invest in changing ours, that we saw they were already so popular with something in the ecosystem.
Which, that's another fascinating thing you see in the editor space as compared to IDEs, is people are zealots when it comes to their themes and fonts and font ligatures and that kind of stuff. And so in VS Code, you can make your own, you can customize basically any color in the entire editor and then turn it into a theme that you can publish for anyone else to use. And this is kind of a trend that started with Atom. Atom was the first editor that people got really into building themes. And that has kind of carried over to VS Code. And we use it as a test bed for kind of understanding design tastes and how people's needs are changing over time.
Yeah. Do you know when Atom was created?
I do not.
Because Visual Studio has also had themes for an incredibly long time. Like, we looked it up once, and I think there were over like 2,000 different Visual Studio themes that you could possibly download. It was bananas. Cody, did you want to share?
Yeah, I was going to say a few things. First, you can also download, if you like this, you know, the Visual Studio for Mac theme.
Yeah.
I can zoom in.
I'm guessing you're going to talk a little bit about the colors.
Exactly. So, here, let me make that really big.
Nice.
Oh, there we go. Zoomed in. All right. So you can get this theme, which I love, on VS Windows as well. So if you're into this, you know, kind of greens and blues, it's there for you too.
What's it called? What's that theme called?
I'm not sure. I should probably know the name of that. I'm gonna call it the Xamarin theme.
Cool.
that's what I've named it. This is the Xamarin Forums app that I have open. Yeah,
that's great.
And I just made it up as we went along. Also, I wanted to show, similar to the command palette and the search in Visual Studio for Windows, we also have a built-in search that's part of a macOS global search function. So if you click on Help and go to the search button, you can also say, like, you know, find, and it gives all the different find commands you can use, and it tells you exactly where they are and points to the shortcut that goes along with it too. So there, you know, I think as more of these innovations are coming from different aspects of the Visual Studio family, we're able to include some of those in where they make sense in each of the other family, you know, members. So I think that that's one of the also powers of having such a varied ecosystem, mm-hmm. is that we can take the best ideas from each one and apply them to other members when they make sense. And so we're empowering each other you know, solving similar problems. I think that's a huge, you know, advantage to the way that we, you know, are looking at this whole family perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, like say VS Code exists on Mac as well, of course. So there are situations where we recommend using VS Code, there's situations where we recommend using VS for Mac. And I think that, you know, there's definitely a Venn diagram, there's definitely a crossover in functionality, but I think that's a win, because when you have that crossover is when you can find these, you know, feature sets that really empower the developer.
Yeah, like just start using whatever speaks to you, and it's really good. And yeah, that's what
exactly.
We are all about. Like, we realized really early on that developers are quite opinionated, so giving people what they want instead of saying like, oh, you only need to use one set of tools and do things one way, it's definitely what we kind of went away from, which is good. It's a diverse ecosystem.
Yeah, we have the VI plugin, you know, that's, people are passionate about VI or Vim,
yeah.
Whichever one.
I think I was thinking the other day about like the Docker support that we have. I know like Visual Studio Code had Docker support so quickly. It had a really good Docker extension, and like if you've used the Docker at command line, it's not always super friendly to new users, and it can be kind of confusing figuring out like what containers you currently have on your machine and what's currently running and how many images you have, endless amounts of images.
That's another benefit of VS Code, is because it's so lightweight, building extensions for it is a lot easier. It's just, you know, a little bit of JavaScript code.
Yeah.
And so for things like Docker, for other big open source tools, we've seen the community kind of come in and build the extensions that they need to work with these open source technologies, which again is very helpful for us, because we can see what people are interested in, what they're working with, and then what tools we should be investing in going forward. Because
yeah.
Kendra, I think you mentioned there's some Docker work happening in VS, right?
Yeah, we are getting more Docker support, and actually there's sort of like I think Paul Uke actually demoed this at, we did live stream. It was our last thing that we streamed.
The release.
Launch.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Release,
okay.
Party.
I forget what I've been doing.
So many things.
Yeah, he has like a video on YouTube that, so the container UI that we're starting to go towards, like we've always been able to debug through a container. That was like the first thing that we tried to do. We didn't have like a container explorer, which was the first thing that showed up in Visual Studio Code. And now that like so many people have used it, and it's been such a popular extension, we're like, oh, maybe we should add more of a container explorer, like right into Visual Studio, ooh, so that it's like easy to see. It's just, it's so cool. I used to work on .NET and Docker, so one of the first Docker tools that I installed was the VS Code extension, so I could kind of more visually explore what was going on.
Yeah, for those of us who aren't CLI savvy,
yeah.
who don't want to use the Docker CLI. It's very nice.
Yeah. It like won me over, but it's also changed a few times over the years. So even once you do learn it in a few months, it might be slightly different syntax.
And going back to the command palette, you just type in Docker and you see all of the Docker commands available.
Yeah.
And so you can
like
kind of learn.
Updated.
Exactly.
Wow, that's so nice. And like if you forget the crucial stuff, it'll just like suggest the most common steps. Like if you just type in Docker, I'm sure it has like most used commands. Actually, how do you guys order that? Do you use like a nifty?
Based on what you've used most recently, followed by, it's just alphabetical.
Okay. We should do some machine learning on that.
Some IntelliCode. Really
some IntelliCode.
Like, you should IntelliCode
that's
that.
That's right.
Sprinkle some IntelliCode into that.
You should talk to Allison.
That it's inevitable.
This is such, like, AI and machine learning are such buzzwords. We're, like, figuring out how we can incorporate them anywhere. Anyway. Yeah, that's cool. So actually, Cody, do you have an example of how, like, VS for Mac really went to meet users where they already were when it was developing? I think we talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the overall ethos of it, again, is that, you know, we want to provide a functionality that is familiar for folks who are both coming from a native Mac background and also from a Windows background. I think part of that is the new editor support that we have going into Visual Studio for Mac. I think I demoed this last time we had this this call, this stand-up. Yeah. And so one of the you know, things we've heard from our customers when we talk to customers and reach out to the community is that there are some subtle differences between Visual Studio for Windows and Visual Studio for Mac as far as key commands, as far as, you know, some core functionalities that we want to make sure that we meet people in the middle there. So one of the things that we did at this new editor is we made sure that we took the core from Visual Studio for Windows, put it on the Mac, and then we're able to integrate some of those features that people love. So it has, you know, full Roslyn support. It has all the quick fixes and all the analysis, code analysis mm-hmm. tools that come with, yeah, exactly, that come with, you know, some of that power there. And another thing that we've noticed is that, you know, developers are very muscle memory oriented, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So shortcut keys, it's a huge, you know, speed and efficiency tool for folks who are developing. And one of the items that we've heard in feedback as well is that we need to have a way to really, you know, demonstrate some of the similarities and some similar functionalities with shortcut keys. So we offer different key mappings available. So people who are used to Xcode key mappings or people who are used to Visual Studio key mappings, you can change those key mappings to match what you want. You can also do custom key mappings. So if there's a command that you maybe have set up custom on one of your IDEs, you can make a custom key map in Visual Studio for Mac as well, which allows you to really, you know, ensure that you don't lose that muscle memory that you've worked, you know, the past 20 years mm-hmm. building. So this is the main focus that we have with meeting developers where they are mm-hmm. and providing them tooling that matches their work style and their needs the most. So I think that, you know, it's a very powerful feature set to have to really get.
I mean,
key mapping is super cool.
I mean,
some of the chats here.
Yeah, sorry. We knew Visual Studio Code key mappings. I'm actually wondering if someday we'll need Visual Studio for Mac key mappings because people like started on the Mac for whatever reason, maybe their workplace changed or whatever, and they had to start using Visual Studio on Windows. And if need to have this round tripping, I guess, of everyone's muscle memory for their.
As I scroll through my virtual desktops. So here's the key bindings in Visual Studio for Mac. So you can click on key bindings and you have this big drop on of, you know, different, like you can go to Visual Studio Windows and you can have these different key maps. You can also set key maps for things that you didn't know. For example, if you want to enable, you know, open terminal, you can, you know, do a key map for that. You can also do key maps for any of the custom things you add. So one of the tips and tricks to steal your term again, sorry, Kendra, that we, that we like to show off is that you can go to Visual Studio Preferences and you can set custom external tools. So if you click on external tools, you can add, you know, question in the chat right now is, what about Azure integration? So you want to do Azure, what's the SQL Operations Studio? So Azure SQL Ops, you can add that and you can do the command arguments in that. So you can have that as part of your command system, and then you can set a custom binding for that. So if you want to launch, you know, Database Explorer, you can do, you know, Control Shift D or something for database. And so it's the extensibility that allows developers to set up the environment in the way that's best for them. That I think that, you know, that's a fun aspect
of
it.
I'm actually curious if most people know you can map a lot of commands in Visual Studio on Windows as well to like new key bindings. It's kind of hard to see. Did you guys know that?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see.
You're like, I don't use Visual Studio. I'm a VS Code. Come on.
I did know that.
let's do it live. Let's see how it looks.
Of course. So key bindings. Oh, wait, no. I got to do keyboard, I think. There we go. So we have a huge list of commands here. And when you click on them, or you can set the keyboard shortcuts and like assign them or whatever. Definitely don't want to do that, though, because I'm going to lose something else. Anyway, and you can also check if you place your cursor and press keyboard shortcuts, you can also check what is already bound. So like Control J is like popping open your IntelliSense member list. And for some reason that command is called edit.listmember, but you can map them in Visual Studio. It's a bit hard to find, and this is a super long list. I'm glad you can at least search through it, though. So yeah, I could just do test or something, and it, you know, tries to figure it out, create unit tests and all that.
Yeah. That's super powerful because you can really customize down to the nitty gritty. Like, you know, it's not just like very high level features you can customize. You can customize down to a very specific feature that you might use often, that, you know, you might have a special task that you do in your developer role, engineer role, that requires you to do this, you know, this esoteric command, you know, 18 times a day, and nobody else has to use that. So now with that granularity that you get, you can really set those commands to be, to be very,
Yeah, so we have some chats on Visual Studio for Mac and Azure integration.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned that before, that you could easily map like Azure-specific keyboard commands. Do you want to give a, I don't know, quick rundown? What comes to mind?
Yes, let me, so again, sorry, I have to go through my virtual desktops. Let's close this solution. Let's go back to our Get to Code window. And let's make an Azure Functions app or an app that we can publish to Azure. So click on New. Let's do a ASP.NET Core app, actually. We do have support for Azure Functions and other, you know, Azure functionalities here, too. So Functions is amazing, by the way. Not to get off on a tangent, which I always do, but Functions is like, it's great. Like, I wish that, you know, that was around forever. So, yeah, click on let's make a .NET Core web application. So you can choose your .NET Core version. And one big thing we have coming out in the next version of VS for Mac is support for .NET Core 3. So that's going to be a fun, you know, a fun big thing to have out there.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go out there with project name. Let's say a web app. And let's create it. So what we like to provide is that we want to make it easier for a developer to publish and upload their site in any way that is, you know, they're needed to, that needs to be done. So we offer support through publish to Azure, publish to folder. And if you click on publish to Azure, it uses your account that you're logged into the IDE with. So I click to publish to Azure, it's going to look for those descriptions that I have with my my Microsoft account. And so create the subscriptions allows me to go through the whole publishing workflow.
Sure.
So that's one of the you know, functions that we have built in. Again, with functions, you can do the same thing. You can post those to Azure. And you can also extend Visual Studio for Mac with some of the cross-platform Azure tools like the Azure Data Explorer, Azure SQL Operations Studio to have custom bindings within your IDE to publish those and to open those. Yeah. And then, of course, the Azure CLI is built in as well. So you can bind commands to the Azure CLI. So if you want to, for example, it's something you want to do to refresh your subscription often or what have you, you can bind through that functionality I showed previously through preferences and external tools, you can bind a specific Azure CLI command to a shortcut in your IDE. And that will allow you to, you know, to quickly, without leaving the context of your IDE, trigger an Azure CLI command or trigger a generic CLI command. And it also works with things like Docker as well. So if you have a Docker command you have to run quite often to kind of loop it back to the theme of Docker, you're able to map those commands as well. So there's a lot of things you can do to stay in the context of the IDE, but also use external tools that you might have available to you.
I didn't know it was that extensive. Did you have to install any Azure extension to get the CLI commands in VS for Mac?
So you have to have the Azure CLI installed in your system.
Sure.
But as long as it's on your system, it just hooks up to the commanding infrastructure of Terminal. So it will just issue a bash command. So yeah, so you know, it's just if you know, if there's a bash command you're often finding yourself typing in, or you know, if you use ZSH, whatever shell you use, it will hook into that, and you can, you know, pass different arguments and different working directories too. So if you need to refresh a code or anything, you can even, you know, add that in there too.
Yeah,
nice. So it's a really powerful aspect of the IDE that I think is often overlooked, and I think that it will really help people you know, extend the IDE in a way that is very custom to their experiences.
Oh, sure. Totally. Okay, cool. So we talked about how sort of the Visual Studio family, we exist because, or many different options exist because we're meeting developers where they are. We talk about how because we did that, a lot of things that we developed with a lot of different communities that they loved, were able to share across products and or inspire each other. Do you think we should launch into 16.1 preview 1 features?
Or
do
yeah,
you
show us some stuff.
Let's do it, yeah.
Closing comments? Okay.
Get your demo gloves on.
Okay. Okay, demo gloves. Let's see if I remember how to trigger all of these. Okay, so first off, these are in 16.1 preview 1. And actually, I'll go ahead and show you where you need to go grab that. Preview. Cool. You can go to Visual Studio Preview and you can install the GA version of 2019, which is 16.0, or you can go and download one of these previews and that'll give you 16.1. So you need 16.1 Preview 1 to see some of these. Okay, so first I'm going to go ahead and, oh wait. I don't think I checked what version of Visual Studio this launched in. See? Okay. So I am in version 16.0, so I should plan my demos better and actually launch the correct version of Visual Studio. Or this flawlessly works into the rest of my demo because now I also get to show off how I have several different versions of Visual Studio installed on my machine.
Side by side. It's planned all along.
Side by side. Totally planned. Oh, crap.
Tip zero.
I wonder how long the update will take.
It
shouldn't take too long, but yeah, I have two versions of 2017. One is totally messed up. It was like an internal build. It won't uninstall anyway. Sorry. Not that our customers would get that at all. You guys are safe. And then I think I have three other versions of 2017. So I have our internal dog food build. I have the 16.0 GA release that we released. Oh gosh. Cody, when was that? Was that two weeks ago? April 2nd.
It was April Fool's Day. It's the day after that, so
right.
We weren't tricking
anyone. We couldn't
anybody.
Do that. Okay. Oh no, this is probably going to be horribly slow.
And so, just you know, to kind of expand on that side by side, those are completely self-contained, right? Like, if I have a version of Xamarin on one version and a version of Xamarin on the other, they're really self-contained installations, correct? They can exist completely independent of one another.
Yeah.
And that's a great way for people who want to test early versions. I think that, you know, one of the concerns with testing and with preview usage is like, oh, you know, I had to keep my development ecosystem very clean for my enterprise and for what I'm doing. But this allows you to do that. You can really keep your working copy that you know is going to be safe and good, and that will allow you to then to play around with some of the new technologies in a sandboxed ecosystem, so to speak. So, you know, if you want to play with the latest versions of Xamarin, the latest versions of some of .NET Core tooling, you can do that without impacting your main development environment. And so I think that the segregation, the delineation between those two environments is a very powerful feature there.
Yeah. We actually have the same thing in VS Code called VS Code Insiders.
Oh, yeah.
It's right next to the normal VS Code on our download page, but it refreshes every single night, and so you're getting the bleeding edge and similar to both VS and VS for Mac, all those builds are side by side and separate, and so if you play around in it and find something that stops you, then you just switch back to the full release.
Yeah.
I think is the icon still green for Insiders?
Icon is still green, that's right.
Oh, you remember the orange icon? Yeah, that was
bring it back, man. What, pumpkin spice VS Code?
Yeah, pumpkin spice.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's our October only.
Never forget.
Okay, folks. Thanks for covering for me. So if things look a little odd, I am on the internal version. So hopefully I don't show anything that we haven't released yet. It'll be fine.
Ooh, you're living very dangerously. This is great.
Living dangerously. Yeah, so the first thing we added is being able to wrap on logical operators. If you have many logical operators and an if statement, you can wrap the expression. You can access all of our handy dandy code fixes with just control dot. And it learns really highly based on where your cursor is. You can also just expand the quick actions with the little screwdriver icon. So wrapping the expression, you can do that there. You can also nest if statements, which is actually kind of cool. So it automatically recognize if you have if statements that can be broken apart and nested, which is pretty fun. And since we added nesting, you can also merge with outer if statements. So if you're working in code and you realize, hey, you can simplify this line a little bit, or just merge it with the outer, you can also do that. Cool. The wrapping if statements. Yeah, okay. Another thing that I'm super excited to talk about was actually, contributed by the community. So we have some basic regex completion for the first time ever in the browser.
It's coming to BS from Action,
too.
That's so
cool. So you, okay, neat. So you have to be in a regex string with your cursor in the quotation marks, and it won't automatically pop up. You have to hit control space or whatever like IntelliSense trigger you have. It's usually control space with the default keyboard settings, and that will launch a little drop down with regex suggestions, as well as a description of their name and an even more like quick info that pops open to the side. So it matches a carriage return character and has the Unicode. And like some notes on how to use it. So this is like so nice. Regex completion is hard enough. So this was contributed I think completely by the community. So thank you guys. Cyrus, if you're watching, thank you. Super
yes, thank
cool.
you. And that's you know that's one of the cool things. Like if you contribute to now that we have this shared platform, if you contribute to VS Windows, it will come to VS for Mac mm-hmm. as well. So we're gonna have the regex completion in there too, which for me is amazing because I can never remember regex.
I know every single time I'm going to a website, you know, regexvalidator.com or something.
Oh right, yeah.
It's just check every time.
Yeah. Everyone's gonna be commenting like that's such bad advice. Do that. Cool. Okay. So this next one is like my spicier one.
Ooh, spicy.
Because I demoed this at like Showcase for the rest of my team, sort of like the broader team, so everyone knows what we got into the product. It's the first time I've been booed.
Oh, man.
Have opinions about this. So if you're ever trying, community, if you guys think this is spicy, let us know. And maybe we should put a flag on it or something. I don't know. Or they were just messing with me. Either way. So if you have a class that's trying to implement a sealed class, you will get an error that says, hey, we can't derive from a sealed type. We now have a code fix to unseal that class.
That is spicy.
How do you guys feel about that?
Hot take. Don't know what a sealed class is, okay. So I love it. No, I love it.
JavaScript land.
That's right.
It's good. I mean, I think that it's one of those ones that you know you have to know that you want to do that.
Yeah, and I think some people were opposed to it because a lot of times people don't like accidentally write sealed classes. Like it's sealed for a reason.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Don't touch it.
Don't
definitely don't unseal
it from it and extend it or like. Yeah, you might have other issues with your architecture if you're doing this. So I think there's probably a lengthy discussion on this online. I haven't read through it, but maybe I should.
Maybe you need the, are you really sure you want to unseal this class?
Yeah,
you need a pop-up saying.
Just a pop-up.
Yeah.
Something that takes them directly to like architecture guidance for C#.
there's patterns for like deleting accounts places. We have to be like, type in yes.
That's right. Type in the class name.
Yeah
exactly. No, yeah.
I mean, like, I think it was a joke because, like, we always implement things because users specifically ask for them. So a lot of times, like, the most upvoted items are what you will see in the next release on our GitHub repository. I actually want to talk more about triage in one of these community standups, but we'll get to that. But, like, so we implemented this because people ask for it, and it should be useful. So hopefully they... didn't ask for something that's harmful. because we try to guide against that too.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's again, when you need the community feedback, that's a great way to learn these things that we might not have thought of, or definitely, that kind of exist outside of the context that we're working in.
Well, the nice part about these quick actions is, you know, they're cued off of errors. And so if you don't want that fix, you can make your own fix.
Yeah. Absolutely. So those were all the 16.1 preview 1 features that we got in. Preview 2 is about to come out, but I don't think I should show those yet. I should wait.
That's right. Build the suspense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tune in next time.
That's
next
right.
Next time. Yeah. I have some 16.01s, or we could kind of wrap up. I'm a little curious, Cody, if you have, did we talk about solution filters before?
No, we haven't.
So it's like a 16.0 feature, and it's just blowing my mind. So you can right click, unload a project, and then right click on your solution and save it as a solution filter. Ooh. So it saves that as a .slnf file. So I'll do user.
Oh, can you actually do that again? We can't see behind the.
Oh, good point. I'll turn off the. Hold on.
There we go.
Okay. Hopefully, I'll be able to turn those back on. So I right clicked and unloaded a project down here. Thank you for noting that. So I unloaded my test project, right? And then I can right click on my solution and save it as a solution filter. And it saves as this new file type. I'll do tests. And it saves us this new file type, which is the .slnf. And actually, we'll probably forget where I have this project on disk. So one handy feature, I will right click on any folder in Solution Explorer and open that folder, which is so nice.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's handy.
I discovered that 2 weeks ago, and I was like, what have I been doing? I was double clicking on a single page and right clicking opening properties, copying out the path and opening it in Files Explorer, because I just assumed it wasn't available. It was pretty silly. Okay. So this, when you double click on a .slnf file, it opens a regular solution, but it is only the projects that you had loaded when you saved it. So here I don't have the test project that I unloaded. So this is super valuable for people who have hundreds, maybe thousands of projects in one solution. I don't know if you've met with any users who have this scenario, but it does exist. Just double clicking on a .slnf file will open solutions so much faster. So it's so key for large projects, because you might only have a certain project or two that you actually want to be looking in, so you don't want to open the whole thing. And you can also, I think you can right click and load project dependencies if you accidentally missed one of the projects that it has a dependency on. So that way you can still build it. If you don't have all the dependencies loaded, you won't be able to build it. But yeah, that's just blowing my mind. That is a 16.0 feature that people can just get. And it's already GA.
We gotta spin that up in VS for Mac. That's a great feature.
Yeah, it's so cool.
There's a question on YouTube that I want to address. I think Jeff asked if there's going to be Blazor support in VS for Mac and .NET Core 3. Ooh. And the answer is we're working on it. I'd hope I'm not saying things I'm not supposed to say, but not over announcing features. But yeah,
right.
The goal is to include that as quickly as possible. So, you know, we understand that, you know, Blazor is a huge, you know, cutting edge thing in the community, and we want to make sure that we have support for that. So it is in process. I don't have an exact roadmap timeline for it, but we are going to be including that support sooner rather than later.
Nice. Does VS for Mac track its bugs open source?
Yeah, you can.
I did.
Yeah, so there's a few different ways. So, of course, developer community is a great resource. So if you go to, let me share my screen again. Yeah. Where's that button?
Let's see.
Share my screen. All right, so if we hop on over to VS for Mac, let's see, is it going to go? It's going to go.
I was able to turn the pips back on.
There we go. Perfect. Okay. All right. Success. Perfect. All right. So if you go to help and report a problem and provide a suggestion, this will give you opportunity to vote and report a problem in a developer community. So this is our portal that allows you to report problems and to vote on other people's problems and to see, you know, live commentary from the developers and from program managers and the VS for Mac team. So that is a great resource there. And you can also file bugs on GitHub in the VS for Mac and Xamarin and whichever workload you're working against as well. So there are ways to file bugs in an open source manner.
Yeah, because GitHub is so much nicer for discussion, I find. Okay, so you do have
There's a lot more emoji support in GitHub than there is on developer community.
Crucial.
Which, you know, how do you know people agree with the thumbs up icon? I think that's how we're gonna vote in the future.
We have like tiny little chevron like upvote things for specific comments on developer community, but
those aren't thumbs up though. Those don't count.
There you go.
That's right.
Like, a thumbs up is so much more impactful than a little chevron upvote, I guess. That's right. So, and they don't have huh, which I miss because I need to know when people don't understand whatever I just blathered in a in an issue. So that's helpful. Cool. Okay. Just wanted to check in on that. And obviously VS Code tracks everything.
That's right.
Open source.
All on GitHub.
Product. Hiding nothing. Cool.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, like I said, if you have a bug, you have a problem, you have a feature that's implemented, let us know. As Kendra alluded to, we definitely implement based on community feedback. So, you know, we have, of course, a roadmap that we're trying to work towards, but that a roadmap is a live document. It can be, you know, prioritized and deprioritized based on community need and community feedback. So definitely interact with us, let us know. That's what we're here for, and we love to hear, you know, how you're using the product and what you wanted, you know, what you'd want to be able to do with the product.
Totes. Totes my goats. Okay.
Should we open it up for some questions and answers? Hopefully answers.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Exactly what I was thinking. Sweet. If anybody wants to put some more chats in, we'll wait a few minutes for the live stream to actually get the fact that we were opening it up for Q&A. You have the whole Visual Studio family here. So VS Code, Visual Studio on Windows, and Visual Studio for Mac. So any kind of, this is the fam. Any fam questions, we got you.
You can try to step us too.
Yes, Mac VS.
VS for Mac alias, Mac VS.
Our official branding is exhausting. Visual
Studio 2019 for Mac.
Exactly.
Yeah. Only version 8.0. Yeah.
In emails, what do you put?
Should I be honest or should I? No.
I mean, I guess marketing would get mad at us, but that's what live streams are for.
Right? And I can see my marketing manager just like, you know, like, feverishly typing away his keyboard around.
Say VS. You can never abbreviate.
Yeah, I say VS Mac in emails. What I need to do? I need to do one of those text replacements in Mac OS that every time I type VS Mac, it makes it Visual Studio 2019 for Mac.
That would be smart.
Then marketing will, you know, Christos will be super happy with me.
Macros on deck.
Yeah.
There you go.
Kendra, we got a question about Kubernetes.
Mm.
Not really a question, but Kubernetes support, we need it in VS
Studio.
What's the hot take on Kubernetes?
In a way, we already have integrated with Docker Compose files. So I'm guessing you're asking for like specifically like Kubernetes orchestration commands. NVS?
Potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know how Kubernetes works, so I can't speak to that.
Yeah, I'm not up to date on like our next... Okay, cool.
On your kubes? Yay. Your kube terminology?
My kube terminology, yeah. I haven't been on the Docker tools for like over a year, but I know right now our top priorities are getting like the Container Explorer implemented. I think we are planning, and we're focusing a lot on like making sure multi-stage build Docker files are really easy to incorporate in your CI/CD pipeline, because that's where we see a lot of, that's sort of still in the development stage of a certain container, and Kubernetes is for almost like the DevOps after the fact of you have built and published your app, and I don't think we're quite there yet at getting the tools integrated. I think we do have a public Visual Studio Docker Tools GitHub repository where you can upvote or submit issues for suggestions. So I'm sure Kubernetes support is somewhere on the radar. Maybe
upvote is so big on Lexicon these days.
And in VS Code, we do have a Kubernetes extension that is separate from the Docker extension because everything is its own extension. And so, again, I cannot speak to if that is, you know, sufficient, but a lot of people do use it. And so you might think about checking that out.
Nice. I can post our issue tracker. Oh, I'm on two different computers. Let's see.
I only see one, though.
Can I chat it to you? And you? Oh, wait, you're also not connected.
You can chat to me.
Drop it in chat. We can drop it in chat.
Oh, right, Cody. Oh, thank God.
I know. Yeah, you chat it in Teams, and I'll drop it into... Oh, wait, no. I'm on two different computers as well. Oh, my. Okay, here. I might be able to do this. Let's figure this out. Let's do it.
It did open. Okay, well,
so,
I can read it out.
I just type it again.
it's
HTTPS
/github.com/Microsoft/Docker Tools.
I'm almost there. Docker Tools. All right. I hope I didn't spell anything wrong. There you go. It's in Twitch. So we put it on YouTube.
Oh, so thank you.
You get it everywhere.
Cool. So upvote that, and Paul, you might take a look.
There we go.
Should be good.
Or and if you guys want Kubernetes support in VS for Mac, let us know as well. And you know, if that's a feature that's asked for, then we'll look into it. That's kind of the community-driven development cycle. We want to hear from you.
Definitely. This is what we're here for. Thanks, guys.
Just cool. Give us more work to do, and we'll, you know.
Yeah, we love it. Well, we figure it out. Okay. Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you to my guests for joining. Thank you, Bowden. Cody,
glad to
you might
here.
Be on more regularly, so as like a co-host sort of deal, so... You don't get.
I think you should come too.
That's called job security. Yeah. Yeah. So you'll be on regularly. So this could be fun.
Yeah. This is a new thing. It's you guys are going to get tired of me really soon.
So. Yay. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much. I think we'll go ahead and wrap up. Okay. So I guess now we wave goodbye. And then I see if I can end the stream.
And we make sure we don't talk after. We did that last time.
Right. I think James fixed that, though. Okay.
We'll see.